Good evening, family. I bring greetings from Langa Life Bible Church. They have sent their special greetings to the family of Kraaifontein Baptist Church. Indeed, we are continuing with our worship service, but now we will be worshiping the Lord over His word. So may I ask that we turn our Bibles to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, chapter 27. And we'll pick up our reading from verse 3, and we will read up to verse 10. Matthew 27, reading from verse 3 up to verse 10. Let us hear then the word of the Lord. Then when Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he changed his mind and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to chief priests and the elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying an innocent blood. They said, what is that to us? See to it yourself. And throwing down the pieces of silver into the temple, he departed. And he went and hanged himself. But the chief priest, taking the pieces of silver, said, it is not lawful to put them into the treasure, since it is blood money. So they took counsel and brought with them the potter's field as a burial place for strangers. Therefore that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken by the prophet Jeremiah, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him on whom a price had been set by some of the sons of Israel, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me. So reads the word of the Lord. May I ask that we pray. Heavenly Father, the psalmist declares in your word that in all perfection I see limit, but your commands are boundless. Lord, we pray tonight that you may grant us a taste of that boundlessness, even as we know that we will not even plunge to the nearest depth of your word. But we do pray by your spirit, both the preacher and the listeners, O Lord, that we may have a taste of it. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Beginning of this year, my wife and I were driving back home, that is home here in Cape Town, driving back from my wife's home in KZN. We were driving along the route that took us via Bloemfontein, not the one that takes us down to Kokstad up to the Eastern Cape. I must confess that in my few years of driving, I don't think I've ever encountered such dangerous potholes as you are driving through Bloemfontein. I kept murmuring with regards to what the comrades have done to our roads. But I was glad that we were driving during the day. And throughout the journey, I became so alert to warning signs on the road, especially the temporary ones. For the first time, I began to believe that what they are indicating exists. Again and again, we would see a car parked on a side, changing a wheel. Friends, all of us will agree with me, I'm sure, that the journey of faith is not as smooth journey as we would like it to be at times. Sometimes we encounter, as it were, potholes. And therefore, we will all need, and we continue to need, warning signs as we journey through this treacherous journey at times. And praise be to God, because in His loving kindness, He provides us with those warning signs from His word. And today, we will look at one of those warning signs in the passage which we have read as we consider the topic of our sermon, which is the tragic end of a life that is so near, yet so far from Jesus. The tragic end of a life that is so near, yet so far from Jesus. And this is a warning for us. Just coming to our passage, indeed, as you can see that this passage that we have read presents a climax, or should I say an anticlimax, of Judas's life. Judas sorrowfully realizes that he has betrayed an innocent blood. We'll remember him being part of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, handpicked by him, as it were. And now realizing what he had done, after returning the money to the priest, we are told right from the middle of verse 5 that he departed and went away and hanged himself. Very sad. But that is his end, at least for now. You see, friends, this man's life does not offer encouragement for us as believers, as the lives of the great servants of God in the Bible do. The likes of Abraham, Moses, David, etc. But what this man's life in this passage presents to us, it is certainly a warning sign. That breathing warning sign, as it were. More like what the author to the Hebrews through Esau warns us. Remember what he says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. When he encourages the saints, he says, "See that no one is sexually immoral or godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his birthright." And what makes Judas and the likes of Esau being a vivid warning sign and stinging one to us, it is because these were people who were not far from God's covenant people. In fact, in this passage, we see the tragic end of someone who was outwardly very close to Jesus, yet secretly very far. Our passage tonight gives us at least 4 warnings concerning this life. And these I have phrased it in a form of an example. 4 warnings that come from this passage as we consider the tragic end of this life that are so close to Jesus, yet very far. The first warning is this. Friends, here is an example of a culmination of sin that was allowed to continue over a long time and perhaps was never dealt with. The culmination of a sin that was allowed to continue over a long time, perhaps was never dealt with. You see, verse 3 to verse 4, in the opening passages, or opening verses of our passages, as Judas saw that Jesus being condemned, he is overcome by feelings of regret. which we know that it is far from repentance. Because see, the irony with Judas is that unlike the heroes of the faith, who did not love their life even to the point of death, but Judas loved his life up until death. He did not and could not give his life over to the Lord. He took it upon himself. Now, as that regret comes, in those opening verses, he took some steps to deal with that particular instrument through which he had betrayed Jesus, i.e. money. And that is what is going to be the thread throughout this passage, from verse 3 right up to verse 10. This issue of money is going to be a continuing thread. Even after Judas had hanged himself, people are still going to talk about what should we do with his money. So for this first point, let's devote our time on this aspect of money in relation to Jesus, to Judas. Friends, it is undoubtedly clear that what lay at the root of Judas's sin in betraying Jesus was the sin of loving money. Remember, saints, just before Jesus ate the Last Supper with his disciples, we are told, right in the previous chapter, chapter 15, we are told there, verse 15, that this man, Judas, went to the chief priest and asked the chief priest, what will you give me if I deliver him to you? That is verse 15. The Bible says they paid him 30 pieces of silver. Now, friends, it is that 30 pieces of silver that is part of his soul torment. But friends, I don't want you to think that this sin of Judas in loving money began when he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. For John tells us in his account that this was Judas's lifestyle throughout the 3 years that he was with Jesus. John 12, we have a story of a woman who came and anointed the feet of Jesus with a very expensive oil. From verse 4 of that chapter, there we are told that, but one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was to betray Jesus, objected to this gesture and said, why wasn't this money given to the poor? John tells us that, you see, he did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As a keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself into what was put into the money bag. Can you feel that? Can you hear this? Then we do not only learn that Judas had a privileged position in this crew of Jesus, but we hear of what he used to do. This was his habitual lifestyle. Now, can you see then what that particular habitual sin eventually led to? That sin that was allowed to continue over and over, yes, for a period of 3 years. Look now where it is all ended. Look at the culmination of that. Friends, that is the nature of sin that was allowed to progress and not being cut off. Here, friends, we are seeing little puppies having grown and now becoming ferocious animals because they were never reined in. Remember the holy warning that God gave to another Judas, Cain. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, as Cain was brooding with anger against his brother Abel. Now God says to him in chapter 4 verse 7 of Genesis, he says, Cain, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. The warning for us is that the Lord may help us to do what the Bible says we must do when it comes to dealing with sin. And that by the power of the Spirit, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we cut it immediately and we cut it sharply as the Lord helps us. Yes, that we will take the instruction of the Lord in the Sermon on the Mount quite serious on how to decisively deal with sin. Remember what Christ says as he instructs those who are listening, delivering that momentous sermon. He says in chapter 5, verse 29, if your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. It is John Owen who said, I really wanted to get something that will get me close to the pastor of this church. And I know that he loves this man, John Owen. This is what he says. He says, cease not a day from this work. Be killing sin or it will be killing you. In fact, a story is told of this man who in the prayer meeting was always praying against a particular temptation in his life. A temptation that would usually lead him to sin. Now this temptation, he was likening it to a spider web. So he would ask God to deal with this temptation in his life. And this is how he would go when he prays, vocalizing the prayer. Oh Lord, remove the spider web. Remove the spider web. Now, over and over again, until one day, another man who has been hearing this vocalized prayer going on for quite some time, until that day that this other man got so irritated. And the prayer began. And our friend began with his usual line in prayer. Oh Lord, remove the spider web. Now the other man shouted aloud to everyone's hearing, saying, Lord, don't only remove the spider, but kill the spider itself. That's it, beloved. To God's help. We must go for the spider itself and kill it, because if we don't do it, it will harm us. This is the tragic end of a life that is so near, yet so far from Jesus. It's a warning. Warning number two. Friends, here is an example of what usually happens when one forms an association with wicked people in undertaking wicked goals. Here is an example of what usually happens when one forms an association with wicked people in undertaking wicked goals. Verse 4. Can go back to our passage. We are told in verse 4 that when Judas had returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and the elders, saying, I have betrayed an innocent blood. Then the priest replied by saying, what is that to us? See it to yourself. I think the NIV says, that's your responsibility. In our slang, we would say, these guys were saying, don't make your problems our problems. Friends, may I remind you that not even long, just the previous day, these priests were so excited when Judas came to them with a proposal of handing over Jesus to them. But today, they want nothing to do with Judas. A man who helped them to get what they so desperately wanted. Well, that is usually what happens, saints, when one cuts a deal with evil people. I mean, you are tempted to feel that the least that these priests could have done Here it is perhaps to pretend to feel something of a sympathy for Judas. I mean, the man is really feeling bad already about what he had done. But that's exactly the point, friends. As the English phrase goes, there is no honor among thieves. Actually, these guys are turning against Judas in the same way that he had turned against the Lord Jesus Christ. They are betraying him in the same way that he had betrayed the Lord. Indeed, friends, here's an example. What usually happens when one forms alliance with wicked people for wicked ends. Friends, the truth is that some people who are known to be part of the church, even perhaps are members, outwardly, faithfully attending all the means of grace, even partaking to the Lord's Supper, you would see, it does happen that some of these individuals, when they are out there, they would do things that are of darkness with the people of darkness who are known to be unsaved. But guess what? Usually, those people of the world, who talk about some of what those people inside the church are doing regarding their lifestyle. A lifestyle that particular member of the church is hiding. Why? Because there is no honor among the thieves. Here, Judas is being betrayed by those that he had cut a deal with them. You know, in the distant past, when I would meet someone and perhaps ask me if I know so-and-so, who is a member of our church. Now, the moment I say, yes, I know, I would be filled with excitement. Yes, 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 I know, we are together with that person. But now, after quite some time, I no longer loosely get excited, but I mix my excitement with what might be said after. Because this is the thing. Friends, some of the so-called church members may crucify Christ through their unbecoming lifestyle, but they should not think that the world will favor them. So friends, think of someone who was very close to us, who was a believer, Lord, albeit an immature one. The man who decided to go and live among the wicked people of Sodom, fully knowing the reputation of Sodom and Gomorrah, even before he went there. I mean, at first, we are told in Genesis chapter 13, verse 12, that this man pitched his tent next to Sodom. And then next, we hear that he was living inside Sodom and Gomorrah. And then later on we hear that he was actually among the men sitting in the gateway to the city. But when the angels of the Lord, when the men sent by the Lord to go and check out if Sodom and Gomorrah is as bad as the Lord hears, when those men came, we are told that this man, Lord, was very kind and was very hospitable, took them into his own house, just like Abraham did. However, we are told that the people of Sodom, both young and old, wanted to sleep with the guests of Lot. Lot pleaded with them to leave his visitors alone, even willing to give these madmen his two daughters, only if they could leave his visitors alone. He was really begging them to do him a favor. But no. In fact, those people said to him, "This fellow came here as a foreigner. Now he wants to play the judge. We will treat you worse than them." Can you hear that, friends?
That is the Sodom that Lord had chosen despite its reputation. This is the Sodom that he had chosen to live next to live inside and to rule its affairs. Look what it is now doing to him. Betraying him. Truly, there is no honor among the thieves. This is the tragic end of a life that is so near, yet so far from Jesus. Warning number three. Friends, here's an example of the misery, the emptiness, and the unsatisfied end of a life that has been lived in feeding sinful appetites. Here's an example of the misery, emptiness, and unsatisfied end of a life that has been lived in feeding sinful appetites. Verse 3 up to verse 5. Look again in those verses. Judas is now returning the money, and upon it being rejected, the Bible says he threw it into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself. You see, friends, Judas has an example of someone who has lived his life. He stands here as that example of this person who has lived his life believing that dangerous false statement of faith that says in order to have a happy life, fulfilled life, you need money. Therefore, this man, driven passionately by that dangerous belief, he made it his own goal to chase after money. As we said, such that it was not too much of a problem, not only to steal from the coffers of the discipleship crew, but also to commit the climax of that sin, sell and betray the Lord himself. But now, the very money that he has chased and even betrayed the Lord through it, That man is failing to provide the relief on the heavy guilt and misery of his soul. Friends, we need not to belittle the amount of money that Judas got. It was not a small amount of money. I mean, we are told that with that money, this man or these chief priests, they brought a property, yes, a land, which would be used for cement. Surely it is not a small amount of money. But here is Judas now. It is not only that the priest have failed to console him, but the very handsome bank balance is failing to comfort him. You see, friends, even though Judas was present on the day when Jesus delivered that sermon, especially in Luke chapter 12, when he warned everyone in verse 15 saying, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed and covetousness. Why? Because life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Even though Judas was present, but as typical of him, he was outwardly present while inwardly very far. Saints, this is the lesson that we are to take home. If one lives his or her life wholly, wholly bent to satisfy the desires that are driven by our sinful nature, you see, those people, they may appear to be satisfactory in the present, but in no time the person will realize that these have actually made me even more emptier than I was before. You see, as they say, I am going to realize very soon that the grass is not as green as it has appeared when I was on the other side of the river. And this does not only apply when people die and then they find out on the other side that actually indeed sinful desires have driven them to miserable. It does not only apply when they come to the end of their lives. At times, people experience it now. And of course, now ultimately, as the parable in Luke chapter 16, they see it on the other side of the world, that it was all vanity. So I'm reminded of a story which I read many years ago. Still at standard one in those days. It was about King Midas, or Midas. He was a very, very greedy king. Now, when you are in that age, you believe that everything must be true. Read the story, moved our hearts about this king. Very greedy king. Certainly he was rich, very rich, but he was both rich and greedy. One day, driven by his greed, he called the court magician and commanded them, saying, "Find me a charm that can get me more treasure that I already have." The magician looked down, and one of them came up with a plan and said, "Your Majesty, I can give you a power that no one else in this whole world has. A power that will cause you that anything that you touch turns to gold." Oh, the king was delighted, very delighted, because now he has found good fortune. So after the court, he had the power. Left the court, touched everything, and it just turned to gold. He would touch the grass, he would touch the trees, tables, chairs, flowers, just everything, just gold was rolling after him. He thought that he must be the richest man in the world. But in the evening, when he sat down for supper, King Midas was slightly downcast. Why? Because his food turned into gold the moment he touched it. And on that night he went to bed hungry. And the penny did not drop still. That this is going to end in tears. It did not. The next morning, the king's daughter ran to the king to hug father, "Daddy." But unfortunately, the moment the king touched the daughter turned into a golden statue. There, King Midas was physically hungry in the abundance of gold. King Midas was daughterless. Because friends, that's it. Here is an example of the misery, the emptiness, and the unsatisfied end of a life that has been lived in feeding sinful appetites. Lastly, friends, here's an example or someone for whom scripture got to be fulfilled. But not in a positive manner, but in a negative manner. Here's someone for whom scripture got to be fulfilled. Not in a pleasant manner, but in an unpleasant manner. Verse 7 to 10. Look again as this passage goes towards its close. There at verse 7, We hear that the money which Judas threw on the table was used in buying the field that was used as a burial site, which now is called the field of blood. But now look at what verse 9 says. It says, then was fulfilled what had been spoken by prophet Jeremiah, who said, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price set for him on whom a price had been set by some of the sons of Israel, and they gave it to the potter's field as the Lord directed me. Now saints, even though there is a debate or a controversy around the passage that Luke has quoted, that Matthew has quoted here, for this passage, it largely comes from Zechariah chapter 12. Especially there, chapter 7, verse 12, around verse 13. But Matthew says to us, it comes from Jeremiah, which would be somewhere in Jeremiah chapter 19, between verse 1 and verse 13. It's not clear exactly. Now, some people have tried to solve it by saying that Matthew is attributing this prophecy to Jeremiah, and because Jeremiah is the more prominent prophet than Zechariah. The point is that there is a debate here. But friends, what is beyond all debates and indisputable is that all this drama of Judas betraying the Lord, including what happened to his betrayal money and everything about him, all of this took place not outside God's decretive and providential will. Therefore, Judas and all the destinies of people like him whose life ends in this tragic end are never, never a surprise to God. Yes, for us, it may come as a surprise to see someone perhaps who was so part and parcel of the ministry of Jesus, someone like who has been part as it were of the church. It may come as a surprise that at the end of this person's life, when the person dies, he dies in such a terrible state. Especially when it comes to his relation with God, that may come as a surprise to us. How come? A person that was so near. But friends, it's a surprise to us, but not to God. You see, before God, either way, scripture will always be fulfilled. His will always win the day. Friends, remember those startling words, that warning that Jesus utters regarding those for all of their lives have been so near to Jesus while in truth were so far from him. Remember the warning in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21-23. As Jesus says then, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father. Christ continues and says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name did we not drive demons? In your name did we not perform miracles? And the Lord says, I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. That day, friends, scripture, Christ's words will be fulfilled, but not in a pleasant way, but in a very unpleasant way. Oh, may this not happen to any of us who are seated here tonight. It will be fulfilled. Those who have drunk so heavily, stayed so close to the outward forms of the Lord Jesus Christ, including the church, yet quite very far from him. Away from me, I never knew you. Scary words. In closing, certainly this is a scary passage that we have read. But it is not meant to discourage us. Instead, it is meant to warn us all. This is a word from our loving Father, laid before us as a warning sign for us who are traveling on this sometimes slippery road of faith. So on this pilgrimage, view Judas's life as a warning sign from a gracious, loving God. I'll go on to say, take one glance at Judas, maybe twice, man, but fix your eyes upon Jesus. View this life as a warning sign from a loving Father. The God who loves us enough that having provided his dear Son as an atonement for our sin, he continues to provide warning signs along the chain. But for those who might be among us and whose proximity to Jesus is like Judas, those who are near to him outwardly while far away from him inwardly, oh, how I pray that the Lord would convict you, would convict you of your sin and grant you faith to believe in Jesus Christ. The tragic end of a life that is so near, yet so far from Jesus. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for all your blessings upon us, O Lord. We thank you for your resolve. We thank you for your strong intention for us, O Lord. That you love us so much, O Lord God Almighty. O Lord, you provide at times vivid, strong warnings. As you tell us in the book of Hebrews, that the Father disciplines those whom he loves. We do pray that indeed we may heed your word. This we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.